Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with John Wells. We were just speaking with Adam Becker, who has written What is Real? The Unfinished Quest for the Meaning of Quantum Physics. Our next guest is Ryan Wright. He's a sophomore at Park City High School, just finishing up his sophomore year. He'll be president of the Engineering Club next year. We talk with Ryan about how he first became interested in engineering and his plans for the club next year. Ryan, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So you are a sophomore. Well, you're finishing your sophomore year at Park City High School. Next year, you'll be the president of the engineering club. And I guess I am wondering, at such a tender young age of, you must be about 16?
Yeah, 16.
16. What first attracted you to the area of engineering? I mean, it seems like this is something you kind of figure out later on in life, but you're right in there.
Yeah, so my dad works in renewable energy, specifically solar, and he used to take me to where they were made. And when I was about 10 years old, he took me there, and I saw how the machines worked, and I loved it, and I wanted to know how they worked, and that just sparked my interest in engineering.
And what particular facet of engineering would you like to go into?
I like the mechanical part, so the actual moving parts, and making what actually makes the product move.
Okay.
Or work, yeah.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Last week, or the week before, I lose track of weeks, we spoke to the head of the engineering department at the University of Utah. As you probably already know, it's a fantastic engineering department. And he said, you know, that the interest that young people are taking in, you know, robotics and areas like that, things that are presented to them as young people, really sharpen their interest in things like mechanical engineering. And he was saying, you know, there are so many students now that go into, because there's so many different areas of engineering, but a lot are going into mechanical engineering kind of for that reason. Is that kind of your experience?
So my experience is I am particularly interested in architecture and like the actual mechanics of housing and like what goes into building houses. But my main goal for the engineering is to spark kids into liking engineering rather than going home and sitting down and actually not liking school and getting interested in school and not just going home and sitting on the couch.
And that's one of the tenets of Cool Science Radio, is to try to encourage people to get into STEM or STEAM related type courseware, or to, you know, have an interest in looking into it a little bit further. And your comment about going out to your dad's solar panel factory, that was the highlight of my 25-year career in technology, was visiting all of these sites all over the world. You'd be at General Motors, which would be a three-floor factory, and there's all sorts of cutting oil in the air, and there and basically at Buick City, for an example, they had raw iron going in the front door, and they had Buicks coming out the back door, and we got to visit all these different facilities to see different people building things, and that was pretty exciting.
Cool. Hey, so my question is, you know, John describes these kinds of experiences that folks like us, when we were in school, we would only get through field trips. But what is the access that someone your age would have to, you know, you talked about visiting your dad's factory, but what are the other things that you find? Is it kind of like a self-exploration where you're finding things on your own, or are there still like the old-fashioned field trips?
I think there's kind of both. So in schools, most schools will take you on to field trips to places that actually produce things. But a lot of it is self-motivated because of your interest in engineering. I've most kids that I've talked to, they are forced to go on field trips, and most of them don't appreciate what they see, but there's a select few that actually really appreciate them.
Yeah.
And the teachers that set up those field trips, they set it up the way they want to. But as the president of the engineering club, you could, for an example, you could call Dean Brown, who's the dean of engineering at the University of Utah, and say, we would love to see three software development environments, and here's the environments that we're looking for. I personally have an interest in architecture. I'm speaking for you. I'd like to see the latest in CAD for architectural type tools. And, you know, you could really design this, you know, design these field trips the way you want. And, of course, here in town, you can go to Skull Candy and find out how they're designing and building the next generation of
headphones
and all that stuff.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, so do you have projects in mind or that would include field trips?
Yes, I actually do. So my itinerary for next year, what I'm planning to do is take some kids down to the oil refineries in Salt Lake because of all the like machines pushing and moving it forward. And I'd also like to take them to the Skull Candy headquarters to see how they design the headphones and what goes into it and the people actually doing it.
Great.
That's great. So if you look at Park City and all the resources that we have here, like Skull Candy, what other businesses have popped up into your kind of sphere of awareness?
So some companies that have popped up in my mind is there's some small architecture firms like Gigaplex Architects. They're like a smaller firm here up in Prospector, but I'd like to go there and see what professionally how they do it in CAD. But as far as companies in Park City, I'm trying to think, but that's really it, what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a question for you. Back in the early 80s when CAD started to come out for architectural tools and those sorts of things, it wasn't very user-friendly. It's certainly a lot more comprehensive than it was back then. It can do a lot more things. It can be, yeah, I mean, it's just a very robust series of software applications. But interestingly, a couple of architects I know that are very successful are still drawing everything by hand. Is that because they're my age, or is that because the technology is still too difficult to use?
I think I've talked to people that are still hand drafting, and their response was that at this stage in their life, they don't want to go back and learn the steps and stages of CAD, rather because they have mastered or perfected hand drafting. But hand drafting it adds a touch of personalization to it rather than CAD's like automated. But now everything's going to CAD rather than hand drafted.
Or you could have a hybrid. You could have the old school architect doing some basic stuff with, you know, doing it by hand and then giving it to one of his associates and saying, okay, now put this in and make sure everything fits and all the mechanicals and everything.
That's actually what they do now. So you'll hand draft it, an overall sketch of it, and then you'll hand it to somebody and then they'll master and recreate it on CAD.
Okay.
This is pretty amazing that as a 10th grader, you have already had exposure to this. So tell us what kind of exposure that you got and when, you know, when did some of these courses start? Was it this year? Was it last year when you were at Treasure Mountain? Or?
So actually this year was my first. The September of this year, I really sparked, like since I was 10, it sparked it, but then it kind of faded off. But then this year it really, really like started to catch on. And yeah, that's really it for the start of it, but I've really gotten into it.
So I'd have a question about that, because you said when you were 10 years old, that's when you started being interested in things. And I think we all, no matter what our ages are, we can think back to when we were kids, when we were young, and there was something that really sparked our interest and our imagination and our creativity. And most of us sort of abandon that. But you, like you say, you went away from it a little bit, but then you know, there was something that made you kind of catch back onto it. Mm-hmm. And I just find that interesting. And, you know, what would be your advice about that to other kids your age or to, you know, old folks like us who kind of let those things go?
Yeah, well, what I think is, I think you should always try something new rather than what you've done, because the class that I'm taking now, which is architecture, it was actually one of my like fallbacks. I didn't get into a class I wanted, so I went into architecture, but it ended up being a success. So, but for as people now, I think self-exploration is a key point in it, because if you're not motivated to it, then it won't be as fun or interesting. But if you really explore in the field that you like, then I think you'd be really interested in it.
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Ryan Wright. He is buttoning up his sophomore year, I think 4 or 5 days left. And then as a senior next year, he will be the president of the Engineering Club. Ryan, let me ask you, what sort of things do you have in mind for projects that you people might do?
Yeah, so some projects I had in mind is every year we do a cardboard boat race, is where you design a cardboard boat and then you duct tape it and then you race until it falls apart and see whose engineering worked the best. So that's one of the first ones.
Lynn, we could submit to that. That'd be fun. We would have fun.
We would.
And you got to paint it a nice color, too.
Yeah. This would be a stretch for us, and which is what Ryan's saying we ought to do.
Most things are a stretch for us.
And then a couple more projects are, I think, on a weekly basis. I'm thinking of making like an RC car kind of thing, but rubber band powered instead of like a battery powered.
Okay, an RC is an electric car, right?
Yeah, but like use a perpetual movement for to power a battery. And then by rolling, it will charge the batteries, and then you can go.
Right. Wow. All done through rubber bands.
That'd be pretty cool.
We were talking yesterday about composting toilets. Do you have thoughts on what you could do to design something a little different, or what'd you have in mind?
So a composting toilet, what it does is it takes your waste and it makes it into like dirt or mulch or something like that. And what it does is it can put nutrients in the soil. Like if you have a garden, you can put that in your garden, it will grow like faster. And what it does is it doesn't have water, so it's waterless, and also it saves a lot of water, and it's better for the environment.
That's great. So I'm wondering, at Park City High School, how many different types of fields in engineering are you able to be exposed to? Like, if you graduate as a senior, you know, what could you have surveyed through the field of engineering?
Yeah, so it goes all the way from robotics. There's a mechanical engineering. There's physics and like actual hand movement and non-motorized movement. And as far as that,
is there software engineering?
Yes, there's software engineering, game development, and et cetera. Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Game development's really big down at the University of Utah. They've got quite a group down there. I don't know very much about it. Have you been down there to look at what they're doing?
I actually haven't, but that's definitely on my list to do.
Okay. So, you know, we were talking earlier, a couple weeks ago, when we were talking about the RoboMiners, which is one of the robotics teams that ended up, you know, they were going from one competition to another, and they were winning every competition. They finally went to the Worlds in Houston mid-April, and they ended up being top 25 in the world out of 5,200 entries, which is, you know, pretty impressive. And interestingly, every kid that I interviewed from RoboMiners, but also the kids from other robotics teams around the state of Utah, told me that what got them involved in STEM-related courseware was robotics. And if it wasn't for robotics, they wouldn't have a desire to be in mechanical engineering or software development or those sorts of things. What do you think it is about robotics that gets kids interested?
I think about robotics is when I was in about fourth grade, we designed Lego robots, and a lot of kids do that. And I think a lot of kids appreciate the movement and what goes on into building it and the satisfaction of it being done. And I think the more of it is building something and seeing the success of it happen.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, I have a really difficult question for you, Ryan. What is it that you need from adults? And by adults, I mostly mean people in the professions that you might be interested in pursuing. And the reason I ask this question is because I've been working with a group that's trying to get some access to creating internships, you know, here in the community, businesses that have something to offer that could really be teaching kids, but in a meaningful way. And so does anything in particular come up, whether it's having to do with internships or anything else that you need from adults?
Exactly. I think internships are a main key in this, because if you have work experience in the professional world, then if you go off later in life, then you'll have that experience already in you. So I think that's really important for self-motivation and self-morale, because a lot of kids are nervous when they go around adults. And if you work in that, then later in life, you'll be set.
Yeah, that's great.
How many kids have shown an interest in being in the engineering club next year? And what is your goal for, you know, the number of people you're going to have in there? How often will you meet? Those sorts of things.
Yeah. So this year, I think we have about 15 kids. which is a steady amount, but I really want to increase this number by meeting weekly and having weekly projects with incentives, like food or drinks every time. So kids will want to show up.
That works, doesn't it?
Yeah, food and drinks all the way.
Yeah.
Hey, how will this tie in, or does it already, to the PC CAPS program?
The PC CAPS program is, they have business, engineering, and I think a couple more, but it's a separate class.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's internship-based, so if you do that, then you have an internship or project. I haven't done PC CAPS, but I'm thinking about doing it next year, but.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Ryan Wright is a sophomore at Park City High School. He's going to be a junior next year. And when he is a junior, he'll be the president of the Engineering Club. Ryan, thanks.